Timmy G's time machine. Can you believe it? We have got the six-time All-Australian interchange steward.
Seven times now.
Paul Rosonico with us. How are you, brother?
How are you, Nibba?
Good to see you, mate. Before we get on to that incredible career, which I know you're very proud of, let's read out what Wikipedia says about Paul Rosonico. Let's do that. Born 16th of February, I agree with that, 1966. Former Australian rules footballer. Questionable. But Collingwood Football Club after Bundoora Juniors. And it says here your height's 183 centimetres, which is 6 foot in the old language, and weight 73 kilo.
That's first leg.
That's got to be your weight when you're at the Bundoora Juniors, surely.
I don't think they changed it.
Jesus, this is horrendous. They say Wikipedia can be misleading, but that's ridiculous.
It's about now, 75 now.
About 75, yeah. Now, you played 17 games with the Collingwood Footy Club between 86 and 88. Then you come to Port Adelaide, and we'll get to that. I want to go back, firstly. People say, oh, he's a Victorian recruit and all the rest of it, but you weren't.
No.
You were actually born and bred Adelaide.
Born and bred Adelaide down 7-4, then moved to Felixstowe with the folks.
Yep.
And the old man was working with Sutton Tools, all that sort of stuff, and then left when I was about 8. Right. Over to Victoria and played with Bundoora Junior Footy Club. Great club, still going around now, juniors and seniors, ripping club. The Bulls, they call themselves now, not the Bunnies, they're called the Bulls now. Yeah. And then played with Collingwood in the 19s through their old system, twos, played 17 really good games.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure why they got rid of me.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Wait, have a look at the video.
But you've got memories of Port Adelaide prior to leaving, haven't you?
Yeah, always been a Port man when I was born, and Randall Gerlach was my favourite player.
There
of all
it
time.
Is, number three.
Yeah, ripping player. Yeah. Met him a few times as a young guy, and used to go watch all the footy and that sort of stuff all the time, and love Port Adelaide, the whole family does. My family's all here, obviously, except for me folks, but the whole family's Port man, so I was always a young guy. It's fantastic.
So, in all seriousness, let's go through as a junior. You're a state junior cricketer and state junior footballer. We're actually supposed to play against each other in Teal Cup then.
Correct.
But you'd done a hammy. Is it true it was because you dropped a pie?
And Richard Foster tried to grab it for me.
But you were a state cricketer and state footballer at 17 years of age.
Look, state to state, like schools, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
With cricket, it was state, played against all the all the other states, Victoria, Queensland, that sort of stuff, and some good cricketers went on to play some really high. I think Paul Rifle was in our team as a young guy, just an example.
Yeah.
And some guys don't go, like Till Cup.
You were fast, weren't you, Paul?
Express, not fast, express. But it was great fun, and the coaches were ripping, really good blokes. A lot of them played district cricket. But yeah, you're right with the footy. Yeah, it was a hamstring, and I think Slug Jordan was coach back then.
Slug.
Lunatic. I think he's passed away now.
Has he?
Has he passed away?
It was a hard unit, wasn't it?
He was crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. I think he was all over. I think Tony Lockett played back then.
Tony Lockett came up for the final.
Doing training and all that, and he's all over everybody, blah, 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 and all that sort of stuff. And good luck. And how'd you go last week? Yeah. And ask all the questions. And I went there, I think back then, I ripped it pretty bad. I think I went on crutches because he had to go back then. And crutches said, oh, sorry, mate. Yep, no worries. You're not playing, you're gone. Didn't want to borrow me.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Yeah, correct. I didn't mind it either. Straight to the point. Brutal. Let's move on. Yeah, it was okay.
So, Collingwood, you debut in 86, but in 87 you actually played 12 games. You had a reasonable year.
I think I had a reasonable year, but I don't think the club had a reasonable year.
Ah, okay.
But I played some young guys, and Lee Matthews, I think, was coaching back then. He gave us my first game. Okay. Ripping coach, good fella, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, but I played some not bad footy and back in that year. And
were you playing half back, half forward? What were you?
I think it was half forward most of the time, forward pocket sort of thing.
Touted as the next Dacos, I heard.
Yes, I think that was from your dad. Now, there was a year that I missed through groin injury, that sort of stuff, blah, blah, blah. So we don't go over old ground, never, do we?
You do. That's what the show's about. Show's about old ground. That's what it's called.
But, yeah, it was a great year. Played a few games. And I reckon the last year that I might have played.
88. So what happened there?
I left and they won the flag. That wasn't a bad move by the club, was it?
That was 90, though, wasn't it? Yeah.
No, Collingwood. I left in 88 and they won the flag. Oh, sorry, no. I left in...
Yeah,
getting mixed up here. Yeah, but, you're right.
You come to Port Adelaide. How'd you get to Port Adelaide? Was that the connection with Bruce Abernathy and Greg Phillips, or was it because Jack was there? How'd you get to Port Adelaide?
Mostly, as most guys know, from interstate, a few clubs come and talk to most guys.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff. And John O was here, and Aber and Kutch and that sort of stuff. And you have a chat to a few clubs, as everyone does. And then I just thought, that's a good club. That's the old club, young club I used to follow. So I thought, had a chat to Jack and Ian McKenzie, I reckon.
Yep.
After Curry put him down. So I had a chat to them guys, and I thought, I've got to come to these blokes. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
And to walk into the club, it's a bit intimidating. I don't know if you've walked into a few different jobs. You've had more clubs than Rodney King, really. Our job, sorry. But when you walk in, it's a bit intimidating. And you got blokes like Arnfield, who was just on here before, walking around and knows the place backwards. Swanning's a good word. Mm. And most of the guys know everybody and all that sort of stuff. So it's a bit intimidating when you go from to a different club and workplaces and that sort of stuff. So,
but see, we wouldn't have seen that. What we saw from the playing group was that this guy came in, not only slotted in and like was almost as if he'd been there for a long time, but you actually changed the vernacular of the language that was being spoken in the change room. So there was all these words and phrases were coming out. You know, hey, wind that up. and they're still around today. But you know, things that you said, it was just became in our vocabulary from that moment onwards. You actually had an incredible influence, right or wrong.
No, fantastic.
Which was incredible.
It's like anything, you go to workplaces, clubs, all that sort of stuff. And a lot of guys, as you would know, you know, get made welcome or get ostracised, it's pretty easy.
Well, you can make yourself welcome.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And most of the guys like yourself, first day, say, hey, oh, mate, how are you, blah, 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 all that sort of gear. I only sort of fresh-haired me.
Yes.
Didn't want to know anything about it until a little later on.
Yeah.
But most guys, and the club, and all the members, that's why I have so many members and so many loyal people. They're great people. It's pretty simple in life to be a good person, isn't it, and have a great time.
Now, you come to the club, it's 1989, you've done the pre-season. We play the pre-season competition. We're in the grand final. We win a flag.
Yeah.
You were wearing number 7.
Yes.
In that grand final.
Yes.
You were wearing number 7. Now, the first round of 1989, Roger Delaney's got number 7. Can you tell me what happened there?
I'm not 100% sure what happened there, but I think that we're starting to... Escort Cup back then, was it called?
Foundation Cup.
Foundation Cup, that's it. Exactly. Started that and said, oh, yeah, we'll give out the jumpers and blah, blah, blah. I can have number 7. And I thought, oh, fantastic. Russell Ebert back in the day. Very happy with that. Thanks very much. And I saw Roger just walking around like the shark. I said, he wasn't happy. I said, oh, it doesn't really matter what number I'm wearing. And I said, oh, I'll take that. Thanks. Beautiful. No worries at all. So I wore it around. And I think Roger might have had a word to the property steward or the team managing. I said, I'll be wearing 7. During the home and away season. So lo and behold, next time we got a jumper, you're no longer number 7.
Yeah.
Now you're number 17. Which is Marty Leslie.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people had on the back of their duffel coats when he left.
Yeah.
And then I said, that's for me.
That was
so fun. Yeah, no, it was good. But Roger, and by all means, hey, it's no big deal. Fantastic player, Roger, and loved Russell Ebert and all that sort of stuff. Fantastic. He loved it and played some really great footy.
Yeah, you or Rog?
Rog, not at Fitzroy. But yeah, no, it was good fun. It was good fun.
I love it. Now, in 1990, as we know, there was a bid made for the AFL, the rest of it, it's an amazing run into the finals. But a couple of weeks prior, you're actually in the twos at this stage, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
When did you get brought back into the team?
A little bit of a stroke, you know.
Memory's not
that flashmate, but I reckon maybe. I think I played you can correct me if I'm wrong here. Played a few home and away games, played a fair few of them, and then there's blokes coming back and all that sort of stuff. And I reckon might have been the first final or second final.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. But I just remember and the old Jack call, all that sort of stuff. I just said, mate, when the final will come around, and 90% of the team was all done, dusted, that sort of stuff, and he just said, you'll be starting, you'll be playing. That was it.
And you knew.
Okay, no worries. Fantastic. Yeah. Yourself?
Yeah.
But that was just the way you just came across all that. No, there's no ifs or buts or what's going to happen. You're in and you're playing.
And so you felt comfortable
about it? About 3 days. Yeah. You knew beforehand.
Yeah.
Sort of stuff.
Now, without being silly, you played a very good final. You were very sure back there. You got great hands. You deliver the ball well. You don't make mistakes. You're around a couple of blokes, perhaps.
Who were very... Yes,
George,
correct.
For instance. but there's an incident, and you try to, you know, push your will upon...
No, yes, I actually don't mind doing a little bit of physical stuff.
Yeah.
Can't fight, but no, I don't mind doing a little bit of physical
stuff. And you found this out this day, didn't you?
Correct.
How did you find it out, Paul?
When I was laying back like that. Bit of claret trickling down there. I'm not real flash at this.
But you could really lip it up a bit.
I don't mind
a
bit of lip and don't mind a bit of physical stuff, but as you know, I'm a lover, I'm not a fighter.
Mate. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Pretty ordinary at both. I don't know if we can find this vision, but the moment the siren goes and the
jubilation,
euphoria of winning, the first moment that we've embraced, you've grabbed hold of me and you've started to dry up me.
Correct.
And
you've been a bit of reverse Amazon there. Yeah, it was magnificent. I've got no phone, no problems with saying stuff like that.
It was quite an emotional moment, but you actually physically had me in your will, and I was a little concerned for my well-being. But it was just such an amazing moment when that siren sounds and we win.
Spot on.
But for you, what elation from all that upbringing, Collingwood over to Port.
Oh, you blokes have done it all before and that sort of stuff, and everyone's won a few junior premierships and that, but to win a Foundation Cup was terrific. That was one of those magnificent ones. And most of you guys who won that, even sort of Arnie the runner and all that sort of stuff, I won the Foundation. I was wrapped. Yeah. I was pumped. Most guys said, yep, won it. That's it. Let's go. Let's have a beer.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And let's move on to the proper season. So I thought, right, that's where these guys roll.
Yeah.
They're pretty professional. Love having a great time. All that sort of stuff. But when the season started, blah, 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 all through the finals and won the flag, it's just one of the best things of all time.
Now, Paul, I reckon preparation is everything. And you and I were incredibly diligent, especially the night before a game. And in 1990, I don't think anybody had better preparation than you, me, and a teammate called David Irons.
Oh, yes.
We had a betting syndicate that we all invested in.
Correct, heavily.
Yeah, heavily.
Heavily back then. Yeah.
And the three of us would get together and run through the computer, which was like about that big back then. And remember the printout was about that wide?
Chugga-chug-chug.
And we would back whatever the rating was for the place.
Only
the place. Only.
Fortron, it was called. Fortron.
Yeah. And we had our own name, the syndicate name of ESAD, which wasn't, eat and die. And, and that's what happened to the syndicate. But we were going well, weren't we?
Flying. We put $500 in. Yep. Back then was big dough.
Big dough.
And $500 in, and
I think we tripled our money
in a couple of weeks, something like that, mate.
Well, by the end of the season, we've won a flag, we got all this money, we're flying. Where did we go, Paul? Where did we go wrong? We broke the rules, didn't we?
Yeah, that's one of the rules.
They said don't drink.
Correct, number one. And also never, ever, ever bet on a wet track.
Yeah.
Just bet for the place only.
Yeah.
Don't drink.
So what did we do, Paul?
Took all the money to the races at
Victoria Park.
Vic Park on a wet day.
Wet day.
And Hinesy said, fuck
it. How much did we drink?
Too much to drink. Hinesy's cashed up, got wads coming out of it, blah, blah, blah.
He's fanning it like this for the bookies.
I reckon we know more than Fortron, so we'll back the place.
The place.
On this wet track here.
And what happened first race?
Ran fourth.
Yep. What happened second race? Fourth. Third race. Fourth.
Yeah.
Six fourths in a row.
Yeah.
So, and Hinesy was just absolutely 30%.
Correct.
Last race, you can't handle it anymore. The rest of the syndicate money.
Yeah. We'll get it all back.
Yeah, we'll get it all back.
Yeah, exactly right.
Fourth.
It wasn't as funny back then.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
And that was the end of my punting career.
Correct.
Hinesy went to the West Coast.
Correct. He had enough.
He had enough.
Packed up his Amway kit and He was trying to get rich quick sort of thing going on. He all the best, mate.
Oh, yep. God. He'll love this story. But it was just stupidity, wasn't it? And don't break the rules is what the motto of the story is.
Gel punting story, mate.
Yeah.
Stick ball what you know, bet what you got, blah, 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 and then we just broke everything and lost
it. You are renowned for crap tips, aren't you? I mean, people...
Yeah.
And you told me the great rule... Hey, Nipper, the more you put on, the more you get back. And you would ring me and say, hey, rip that. This is a certainty. Put your house on it. I said, Paul, I've lost 7 houses. I cannot afford to do this again. But we had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Oh, it was the best. Even today, mate, we catch up with a couple of weeks ago. I went down to Edithburg with Scotty.
Yeah.
George, Tolls, Fozzie, Chalmers come down, all that sort of stuff. Caught up with Scotty down in the Edithburg, the pub.
Yep.
And as we do all the time, as many guys as you can, we catch up with Arnie and that sort of gears, past players and officials, and have a punt and a beer. It's the best thing of all time, mate. Talk some, get some tips, and it's all rubbish, but I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care.
Now, 92's got to be, looking back on it, I think we only lost 4 minor round games and went through second semi, main grand final. We had a young fella playing with us at the time, Nathan Buckley.
Bucks, yes, the great Bucks. Now, ripping player and a ripping guy.
Now, he was young and brash, wasn't he?
Yep,
absolutely. Let's say at times overconfident. And anything he wanted to put his hand to, he could do, wouldn't he?
Correct.
Do you remember the darts experience?
Oh, yeah, darts and table tennis. And,
he just wanted to win everything, didn't he?
It wasn't that flashy at all, but he would work his ring off to try and beat people.
He used to give it to him, too, about... I remember he came, he saw it... He didn't want to play until he saw the scoreboard.
Yeah.
And he said, what's that? And you said, oh, they're Shanghais, mate. You get more Shanghais, you get points. Let me have a go. And he said, oh, far out, let me have a go. And he threw one over there and one over there and one over there, and you go, sprinkle.
Ridiculous.
You were into him.
Yeah, correct.
Well, that moment onwards, unbeknownst to us, he was finishing uni at 2:30. He was going straight down the club and practicing darts.
Correct.
In a triple all of our scores. Yeah,
and he does that in a lot of things too. He's just one of those guys who likes to be a perfectionist, everything he does.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit, as you said, a little bit overconfident and everything. That's when guys like, that's why you have good footy clubs and workplaces. Like Roger Delaney will say, hey.
Cut that out.
Sit down a little bit, brother. Taking hangers at training and all that sort of stuff. Kick to kick before training starts. Yeah. But he's one of those guys who actually, I think he liked that in the end. And I believe he went from us doing the Shanghais and the table tennis and to Brisbane. And sort of matured on the way, and he's, as you know now, we catch up with him now, mate. He's a ripping bloke. His house not too bad.
Like that was a big individual year, though, wasn't it?
Oh, fantastic! And it was off the charts.
Yeah.
Him and Wanganeen in 1990, Bucks was so professional compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
Great player and a good fella. Mm. Had a few beers every now and then. Not as many as most, but he liked it. He was just a great player. He always knew he was going to go into bigger, better things in the AFL world.
Now, pre-season, would you say that was one of your strengths or not?
Not really.
No.
Had a lot of injuries pre-season.
Yeah. In the gym, did you do much in the gym?
Is that Jim? Who's Jim? Is that the recruit? Jim's mowing.
Poor old Ross Whitehorn.
Ross.
The battle he had trying to get you, Fozzie, Rowan Smith. He said to me one day, he said, Timmy, what do I do with Rowan? I said, what do you mean? He said, what do I do with him? I said, well, why? And he said, well, he comes in the gym, but he just sort of, he's like the meet and greet officer. He just meets, he greets,
voice,
and lifts nothing. But you weren't keen on your weight,
are you? No, not too keen. I used to shoot down there with Fozzie and see the great Ross Whitehorn. He was our weights coach for... How long was he? Before me.
Yeah.
How long was that, do you reckon?
I reckon he started about 85.
85, and we caught up the other week. And he's just one of those guys, really good fella. And Ross, you come up and you say, you're doing weights tonight? You're on the bench? A bit sore, mate. Actually, you're crashing a few packs on the weekend. Ross, a little bit sore there, brother. I'm just going to jump in the bath with the boys and tell whatever stories on the weekend. Yeah. But had him for the years I was there, 5 years or whatever it was, and he was there, and he's a ripping guy. We caught up the other week.
Yep.
With again Arnie and a few of the boys, George and that, and it was great to see him. He's not in the best of health at the moment, unfortunately, but one of those guys just bleeds black and white, doesn't he?
Talking about David Armfield, after we won the 92 flag, we went over to Bali for a footy trip, and it was a lot different back then than what it is today. Hardly any bitumen roads or anything, but we found places where They had beer, which was great, terrific. But there was, after 3 or 4 days, there appeared to be some people putting weight on.
Yes, it was a really, I think it was a flu going around or something. There were some killer bees stung some guys. Something like
you,
that.
You developed a club called the Fat Boy Club.
Yes, we had, there was a sort of a...
What sort of people were in that at the time?
Obese people who put a lot of weight on in a short period of time. It must have been a condition going around, a bit like coronavirus now. But it must have been a condition going around. And I think Fozzie caught it, Tyler caught it, myself, Roger Delaney. There was a few guys who got infected.
Oh, there were some funny moments. Badly. But when we got back and we had to start pre-season a few weeks later, our fitness coach wasn't too happy with that, was
he? No.
David Armfield, was he?
No, he's not too happy with too many things, David. His whole life. He's one of those people who doesn't really like people having a good time.
No, no, he doesn't, does yeah, he? No. Correct. So he was horrified that there had been a group named Fat Boy Club.
Correct.
And I remember the first night at pre-season, he has absolutely given it to you blokes.
Correct.
And you were right in the line of sight.
Correct. Spot on.
So it's pre-season. It's about 40 degrees.
We've around done, a tan sort of thing,
yeah,
wasn't it?
We've yeah, done yeah, the two-hour session, you name it. I walk out and I look in the car and there's you and Richard Foster in the
Fozzie front. Fozzie was one of the people.
He was infected. One of the victims. You two are in the front seat of the car, windows fully up, 40-degree day, just trained for 2 hours. I looked in there and you... Both are just dripping with sweat.
Car running, you're right.
Car running. I knocked on the window. What's going on? What were you doing?
Oh, after the mouth Wani gave our group of dedicated players, you know, first night of pre-season and that, we and Fozzie did all the training, last and second last and everything. Imagine, blah, blah, blah. Fozzie's walking off. He's starving, of course. You don't have to be hungry to eat, as he says all the time.
What a great statement. Yeah. You don't have to be hungry to eat.
There's you and Scotty and that looking ripped and all that sort of stuff in front of us. And we're going, oh, shit, I don't know. I said to Fozzie, right, we're going to get fitting maybe the next couple of weeks and get a little bit of fitness in us.
Yeah.
As per David Armfield's advice. Mm. I said, right, eh?
Lose some skin folds.
Correct. Mm. Correct. Fozzie had hedge clippers hanging off him. You know? Need to do a little bit of work there, Fozzie. So Fozzie, in his wisdom, you know, Fozzie's like, he's a very wise man, Richard. He goes, right, we start now. I said, right, let's go. I said, what do you want to do? You have a walk or something? He goes, let's jump the car. Right, start the car up, winds all the windows up. I said, what are we doing here, brother? What are we going to do here? We drive somewhere or something? He goes, just sit there for about 20 minutes. Cranks the heater up to the hottest you can, turns the car on. We're sitting there, it's 48 degrees inside, it's 52 outside. I'm going, this is ridiculous. I'm like one of those dogs and that, and I'm trying to wind the window down. He's putting the window up and that. Then you're knocking on the window and I'm going, this is crazy. But oh, we did God, it for 20 minutes, lost about 0.5 of a kilo, then went drove the pub and had a few beers. But you're right, it was a classic, one of those classic Fozzie moments. Mate. He's a ripping guy and loves having a good time. Loves God, having a ripping time.
Have a good time, all right. When we finished our careers, you went back to Melbourne for a short stint. While you were there, Choco got you back involved with the footy club.
Yeah, I was actually doing a bit of stuff over there. Long story short, I can't remember what year it was either when I started, but just doing a bit of forward scouting, watching teams play before we played them.
Yeah.
So you'd fly and watch Essendon for 2 or 3 weeks. Then we'd play them in 2 or 3 weeks, and you'd go watch someone else, blah, blah, do some reports and all that sort of stuff. Back then, no computer really, handwritten and that sort of gear. So you'd send it back, they'd do it all. If people looked at it, I don't know if you would have looked at it if you were playing back then. I
definitely would have looked at your work.
But did all that and slowly getting more computerised and all that sort of stuff and players. And I moved back to Adelaide and I was still doing it from here, flying out of here, but still working. And got a little bit too much getting computerised. And he said, do you want to do the matchup board, I think it was after that, up in the box. I did that and did it with Matty Primus as well, which is great fun. And then it's all getting more computerised, all that. And they said, oh, you know, I think Gilly was doing it again.
It just seems to be a pattern of problems. Once they introduce a computer...
I was going
to
say, it's a common denominator.
You seem to come out of the picture. And it, very common.
You know what's unlucky now? They just put another computer in there. No, it's getting all technology's taken over everything.
Well, let's go back to 04. I think you told me that they at some point in the season, Walshy and Choco said to you, don't bother following anyone else, go to Brisbane.
Yeah, I think it was more like, I reckon Artie might even know that too, I reckon it was more like four rounds to go for the season starts, they give a team for everybody to watch before, who's going to make the finals and that sort of stuff. You just keep following. I had Brisbane back then, which is pretty lucky, blah, 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 and they played Brisbane in the grand final in Burton. But there's always a moral to a story, Tim, isn't there?
Yes, what is the moral?
So I had Brisbane that year, 2004, and the year before that I had Collingwood. So I followed them for weeks and we got beat in the final. So
it was your fault both times, and obviously your credit when we win.
Correct. I think I might have bought a computer in that year. But you're right, it's one of those things you just go, and these guys, what a game.
Yeah.
It was terrific.
Jeez,
it was
fantastic. Had a good night, didn't we?
Ah, just best thing of all time. And I caught up a lot of these blokes 2 weeks ago.
At the 150th?
And you know, Roger James, all those sort of guys. Yeah. It was great. It was fantastic. Yeah. Loved it. And they're great guys, and you love all these guys, and they love you. And
well, you've dedicated a big part of your life since footy to the Port Adelaide Footy Club. Now, doing the interchange, which I had quite a bit of fun with you, obviously, when I'm calling the game, so I get to make comment about... Because sometimes you get the odd touch, but I noticed you've been fumbling a bit.
Yes, I think there's been... Hamstrings have been really well. David's been giving me a bit of rub down and looking after me fitness wise.
Well, it's not a good advert. what about when you are on the boundary line? I notice that you're one of the few that you hand out. You've got to stop and run on. One off, one on.
As you know, when you watch, it gets everyone excited. Mm. And when it gets close, someone's yelling out, they're not watching, and that sort of stuff, and you got to go on, and I think they've got it down pretty well now.
Yeah.
But there's been a couple of times where you just go.
They've run behind you. I've seen them run behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
Matty Thomas one day, you didn't see him come off behind you.
No, he ran off.
James Stewart went off. You went off at him.
Correct. 50 metres.
50 metre penalty for you.
Correct. Matty Thomas no longer here.
Yeah.
Bought computers in.
Now. A good friend of ours, Wayne Marnie, he's determined to make your role redundant.
It's not just
the computer, but he reckons we could get rid of you just by putting a red door and a green door on the interchange.
So I'd love to.
So you go through the green door to go on, go through the red door to go off. The end of Rosonica. The end. And that would end your run of seven times,
All Australian.
Interchange Stewart.
Yeah, pretty proud of that too.
Yeah. Do they actually award that?
No. That's just between me and you though.
On a serious note, tell us about, you know, some of your best teammates and the fun you've had with those, and probably maybe, and best players you've played with. Club in its 150th year, what does it mean to you?
My best thing of all time though was Oregon last. I wish there was more players here last week. And you know, I've told you a few times, and a few of the guys, mate, I never really got to meet a lot of players like Randall Gaelic and Bruce Lott. Blokes used to watch as a young guy playing, and they were ripping players.
Yeah.
All these guys here would know who you're talking about. Darryl Carl, I've met a few guys, but all the guys you play with are ripping guys, mate. It's not real. Some blokes aren't that flash, as in outgoing personnel. Looking. You get. Correct. As you spoke to David before and Mark Taylor. But mate, it's one of those things. I've been here for a while now. Born here, obviously, but went back to Melbourne. But Adelaide, Port Adelaide Footy Club is just amazing. The whole place, mate. Even the guys here who have been here from the start. Even Arnie's back now, just as an example. Yep. And he knows the club back to front. And I don't think there could be anyone here. They could be here, but they wouldn't know what they were doing. So. I just like having a great time with all the guys, and especially those pub crawls we have, and you get those different eras, like Summos and all those, that era's coming through. You catch up with them all, have a beer, have a laugh, carry on. No one talks about anything, except about hanging a bit of shit on each other.
Yeah.
And how bad you are, and all that sort of gear, and have a laugh, and that's the best thing of all time. We went away to Scotty last week, just with a handful of guys, and a few guys every now and then don't have the best life going on at that moment. So I just need a bit of support and have a chat and have a laugh and carry on and get away, and that's what it's all about. You win some flags like these did, and we won a couple, I won a couple, you won about 9 or something. That's all great, it's fantastic, best thing of all time. But the
games, even the years we didn't win the flags when I was playing, it's had a great time.
Yeah.
Absolutely ripping.
Paul, I think you are the minister of good times. You are very good at what you do on the Barry line. We hope you're doing it for a lot more years, and we hope you're doing it for our next flag. Mate, in the 150th, thank you very much.
Good on you, Nipper.
Cheers, pleasure.
Thanks, bud.